This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, this summer has been many things: unusually hot, unusually dry, and if you're concerned about climate change, or indeed if you work in the fire service, really very worrying. But as I've mentioned, it has also been very sunny, and so very good for solar panels. And here on Environment Matters, we've heard from many householders in the past about their decision to fit solar panels, how they're getting on with them, and schemes to make the installation of them cheaper. And as one of those people, I can report that solar panels have been working super hard this year. And it's not just been great to have days when all of our household energy has been effectively free, but so good to know that all of it has been produced as locally as is possible and totally from renewable sources. The only slight frustration with domestic solar panels is that they often produce most electricity when we're out at work, which is why it makes even more sense for workplaces to have solar panels. They often have big roofs, uninterrupted by loft extensions and dormer windows, and the times when their demand for electricity is greatest is when the sun is shining most. But how easy is it for businesses to go solar? And with businesses having to pay VAT on solar panels, something we don't have to do on domestic installations, does the economic case stack up? Well, handily, to find out more about this, I had to look no further than just up the corridor from the Mix studios to find someone fresh from the experience of getting solar panels installed on a business premises. Steve Bedford is the Executive Director at St Albans Business Agency, which looks after the Stanter building from which Mix operates. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Environment Matters today. So just for listeners who don't know, can you just tell us a little bit about Stanter, about what it does and also how it's funded?
Sure. So Stanter stands for St Albans Enterprise Agency. We've got two business units. One is St Albans Property Services, which owns the building in which we operate from. And the Mix also operate from as well.
We do.
And we've got the St Albans Enterprise Agency itself, which provides business advice, workshops and general support, really, for pre-start businesses, but also young businesses as well, less than 5 years in operation. The absolutely key thing to remember, I think, about the St Albans Enterprise Agency and Property Services is that the Property Services arm funds the vast majority of the work of the Enterprise Agency.
Right. Okay, then. I see. So you're doing great work here supporting young businesses, but the way that you're funding that is by renting your property.
Yeah, we do get a small amount of money that historically came through central government. That's now gone. In Hertfordshire, there's a small fund that's been allocated that provides probably about one-fifth of our operational costs as it stands at the moment.
OK. And how about the building that Stanter operates from, and as you say, that Mix also operates from? Can you just tell us a bit about that, the kind of age of it, what the roof's like, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so the building's probably, and I'm guessing now, about 25 years old, something like that. It's quite a modern kind of semi-industrial unit. The majority of the businesses that are based here in the 19 suites are small businesses. We've got everything from a radio station, which we're talking on at the moment, obviously, through to taxi company, through to 3D printing operations, through to general professional services businesses.
And as you say, the building is actually quite modern, fairly flat roof, isn't it? But it's quite a modern, it's not a sort of a leaky old building or anything like that.
No, it's not. It's not a heritage building in any way, shape or form. It's, you know, relatively modern. And it's got a kind of gentle pitch on the roof. We don't have any historical pan tiles that we need to worry about. And there's certainly no thatch on a building like this.
Marvellous. Well, that must have been a relief. So what was your purpose in looking into the idea of solar panels?
Well, we were becoming increasingly aware of the fact that we have a southeast facing elevation of the roof. And obviously we've been experiencing an increase in temperatures and solar looks more and more viable. So we started to look into it in a bit more detail just to see whether or not we've got the right kind of roof, the right kind of location, and whether or not it would be feasible for us to actually go to the market and get something fitted.
OK, and was this about money? You've already said that the property is important for funding the good work that you're doing. Or was this more about doing the right thing?
I think it's a combination of both, to be honest. You know, if you can possibly make a decision that ultimately in the longer term reduces your operational costs, but in the immediate term begins to make a very significant impact on your environmental footprint, then clearly it makes very good business sense.
Yeah, well, it's great when those two go hand in hand, isn't it? So, as you say, you know, this is something that you've been kind of thinking about. What was it that eventually pushed the button, as it were? Why now? Was there anything that changed?
I think the thing that really got us thinking about it was that globally things are becoming increasingly unstable, it would appear. You know, energy supply is perhaps something that we haven't thought about at a strategic level. I think that has changed. It's still ongoing, and I don't think it's going to be going away in the near future. So we started thinking about what would happen if we were exposed to massive fluctuations in terms of where we're getting our energy from and how we were getting it. And I think at that stage, it became more than just a good thing to do that would make some, you know, cultural and societal sense, to being actually maybe this is a strategic imperative.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's quite serious, isn't it, when you're kind of thinking we could be left without power. How do we make ourselves more resilient? So, yeah. And do you think your decision holds up financially? Is this something that, as you say, it's going to be good for energy security? It's going to be good for doing the right thing? Is it going to be giving you good payback?
So our projections suggest that somewhere between year 4 and 5, the project will begin to break even.
Okay.
So after that period, obviously, there's a benefit that comes through to us. So financially, it should stand up, and the payback period is relatively quick.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. So having made the decision, how did you then go about choosing a supplier?
So it wasn't perhaps as straightforward as you might expect. I think the majority of solar fitting organisations are used to working on domestic locations. So what we were interested in is finding a supplier that had worked on a building like the one that we have. And that's where we had to look around quite a lot. And there weren't too many of them. And ultimately, we drew up, as you might expect, a shortlist, bought a couple of companies in for a conversation, and then ultimately chose one contractor.
Okay, and were you able to choose a local supplier?
As close as we could, yeah. So the organisation that we ended up using, probably about 25 miles from this location.
Okay, so not too far away if things do go wrong for any reason. And was the process simple about sort of choosing, working out if the roof was right, the surveying, that sort of thing?
Well, I think we started out thinking it would be simple, and then you discover all sorts of little bits and pieces. So to start with, we assumed that we'd cover the whole roof in panels. But then, of course, we realised that the backside of the building doesn't get a great deal of sun. So at that stage, we've got to look at the benefit of having the whole roof covered in solar panels or just going with one side of the roof. Ultimately, we've ended up with a bit of a hybrid, to be honest. So that's one thing. I wasn't expecting that we'd do drone flyovers to look at the roof. I didn't think we'd run into any planning issues. As it happened, we couldn't get a blanket, it's okay to fit solar. So we did have to get some planning input from a planning specialist.
But you were able to navigate that without too much trouble. You've got here in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. We took good guidance from people who know about, you know, how these things operate. And we worked in partnership with a contractor to specify what would work best in the in this location.
Yeah, and as you say, you chose a company that had already done similar installations, so presumably they've seen similar issues before. And how about the actual installation? You needed quite a lot of scaffolding. How about the upheaval inside? Was there a lot of rewiring needed? A lot of, I don't know, mess?
So, you know, scaffolders arriving on site, they tend to turn up before you do. And, you know, we turned up one day and all of a sudden they were scaffolding the building. So, you know, we expected them, but the scaffolders like to start early. So that was the first surprise. You know, the scaffolders were great to work with. They were quick, they were efficient. And the scaffolding, you know, a lot of people assume it's about access, but it's also about safety as well. You know, you're working in a high location, so you need a lot of protection around the building as well. And that was fine. In terms of the mess itself, not much mess. A little bit of disruption because we needed some heavy lifting equipment in the car park and also to store the panels themselves. And then when the panels were being fitted, you know, this is a commercial building. There was noise, and you know, we tried to flag several weeks out when that noise would be happening. But when it came to the actual fitting of the panels themselves, it was relatively straightforward. The cabling requirements were, again, pretty straightforward. We've got a plant room on the side of the building, and they ran the energy cables directly into that, which is where we have an inverter. So overall, I'd say actually the process was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, indeed. Now, you've gone for quite a hefty 100 panels, which is marvellous. I just wondered what proportion of the building's electricity use they would be able to supply their electricity for.
That's the question we're not completely sure on at the moment. What I can say is that it won't meet our full requirements in any way, shape or form. We use quite a lot of energy in this building. You know, we've had a very hot summer. Our suites have air conditioning units. They pull quite a lot of power. We operate as a building 24 hours a day for those who need it. So we've got lighting on all the time. So we think that it may pick up somewhere between 20 and 30% of what we need as a building. The side benefit, or it may not even be a benefit, but the side impact of that, of course, is we don't need a battery on site.
Right. OK, so no batteries because, as far as you're concerned, all the electricity that's produced will be used in the building. Because, handily, you've got people here working, doing those high-energy things during the day when the solar panels are producing most of their electricity.
Well, that's exactly the case. I mean, there is the scenario whereby perhaps lots of people are on holiday in August and, you know, less people are using the suites and we've got some warm weather, lots of sunshine. We might generate, you know, just every now and then a little bit more than we need. And at that stage, we can sell it back to the grid. Although we need a conversation with the people supplying the energy to the building to make sure that they're happy with how we do that.
Right. OK, then. So it sounds like things have gone pretty well. You sound like you're pleased with the decision. Have you had any feedback from any of the tenants about what they think about it?
I think the tenants in general have been very, very supportive in terms of what we're planning to do. You know, inevitably, there have been questions about when does the electricity turn off? Will there be any further disruption? And I think the turning off the electricity was the thing that caused most people concern. We've got people here running, you know, computer servers that, you know, serve their entire operation. We've got other people that, you know, run projects through their machinery or whatever, and it needs to be maintained. So when it came down to it, we didn't really have to turn off the electricity at all. We were very, very lucky from that point of view because we've got some spare panels in the plant room, which allowed us directly to go in, you know, to go directly into those.
Right. Okay, then. Well, that sounds good. So not too much dissent and hopefully lots of approval from your tenants. So do you have anything else in the pipeline? Do you have any other energy improvement upgrades or renewable ideas for Stanta?
Well, Stanta's looked at the building previously. So, you know, the thing we moved to a couple of years ago is we think the vast majority of the lighting in the building now is operated on LED, through LEDs now. So that was a significant change. You know, we will bump into bits and pieces here and there, but you know, with some legacy stuff. But we're certainly on the case on that one. There's the ongoing debate about what we do with electrical charging points.
Oh, just for clarity, that's electrical vehicle charging points.
There's some discussion around that at the moment, whether or not it would be beneficial to our licensees. So that's something we'll always keep on the agenda. In general, the way we reduce our environmental negative footprint, anyway, is on our radar on an ongoing basis. I think, you know, as a general point, we view it as a part of organisational quality. You just can't ignore any negative impacts you might have on the environment. So we do all we can to recycle components. We will buy recycled components where it suits us as well. I mean, we'll certainly take a waste minimisation approach to things as well.
Yeah, OK, that's good to hear. And how about any advice for somebody who's running a business and has a building and is kind of weighing up whether solar panels might be a good idea? Anything you might say to them?
I think the first thing is to really do the research on what you can fit and how you can fit it. We were surprised about, you know, the fact that whilst it's universally welcomed, it's something to look at. You know, so if you're in a heritage location, I'd definitely speak to the planning authority. And you might need some kind of permitted development type approval from the planners. I then think about the implications from an operational point of view. And, you know, there will be, you know, some kind of inverter or something to store. And that needs to be in a relatively well ventilated, cool environment as well. So there are quite a few things to think about. In terms of doing it, I think more businesses should be doing this. It's a bit of a no-brainer when you start looking into it.
Steve, thank you very much indeed for talking with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
I was talking there to Steve Bedford, Executive Director at the St Albans Business Agency. Now, I love that a good proportion of the energy that Mix 92.6 uses, thanks to Steve's efforts, comes straight from the sunshine falling on the roof here at Stanta. And I also love that in just 4 years' time, those solar panels will be saving Stanta money so that they can do even more of their good work, helping fledgling local businesses get off to a good start, providing quality jobs for local people. If you'd like to hear more about domestic solar panels and the experience of people installing them, then do check out previous episodes of Environment Matters on the podcast page of mix926.com. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.